Good morning, everyone. It's great to be here again. Good to see you all. If you have your Bibles, we're going to turn to Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 6. And as you're turning there, I just want to give you sort of the lay of the land as we get into the context of what's going on in chapter 6. We see Israel again. The northern kingdom has been taken away by the Assyrians. Now Judah is back. Judah's still together. Jeremiah is in Judah. And God's now giving prophecies to Jeremiah to tell his people what's going to come if they don't repent, if they don't turn back to God. What's going to befall them? And Jeremiah has a ministry where he preaches for years and years, and no one listens. And I think the encouragement there is our duty to God is to be faithful to the calling. It's never the results as we think and we see them. Be faithful to Him. If the Lord tells you to speak to someone, speak the word to them. If the Lord tells you to help someone, you help them. You be kind. You live out your faith in Christ as the word tells you. And don't worry about the results. They're not ours. It's for His honor and His glory. And God's chosen people here, as we've seen time after time in the Bible, in the Old Testament, they hear God's word, they know what's right, and they turn away and reject Him. Chapter 1 in Jeremiah, and I'm just going to read through some of these. This is what God has against them. He says, I will utter my judgments against them concerning all their wickedness because they forsaken me. They burn incense to other gods and worship the works of their own hands. Chapter 2, he says, for my people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. My people are foolish in chapter 4. They have not known me. They are silly children, and they have no understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge. Chapter 5, he says, an astonishing and horrible thing has been committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule by their own power, and my people love it. So, what will you do in the end? This is written 600 BC. People tell us all the time that God's word is outdated. You read that ancient book, that book that doesn't apply. What's wrong with you? We have come so far in society. Look at us today, how much we've progressed. We don't need that ancient text. And I'm just sort of glad that God scoffs at the foolishness of man. Look at what their problems are. They worship idols. And they worship themselves. They forsake God, and they trust in empty promises. They love evil, and they hate good. There's false teachers, supposedly of God's word, that are telling them things like prosperity in this life is more important than eternal life with God. Repentance of sin. And they have no shame. Chapter 6 is going to tell us. They have no shame. He says in chapter 6, they don't blush. If I didn't tell you that was 600 years ago that this was written, you would look at the times we live in and go, sounds familiar? Okay, I know none of us here struggle with any of those things. It's always those people out there. But it sure sounds the same, doesn't it? And you know why? Because we're the same. The human heart is deceitfully wicked, the Bible says. Who can know it except God? And God, knowing that man will forsake Him, God knowing that man will not heed His word, He still comes and says to Israel or to Judah at this time, you're coming to a crossroads. I'm going to tell you what you should do when you come to this crossroad. Will you listen? He speaks to us today. Anybody here at a crossroad in life? And if your hand's not up now, it's coming, right? All of us come to crossroads. What do we do? Has anyone ever said, what should I do? How do I handle this? When they've come back from the doctor, and the doctors say, this, this, and this. And you say, Lord, what should I do? How do I handle this? When you're struggling in your relationships with your family, you come to a crossroads and you can act like the world tells you to act. If it gets too hard, separate, leave, walk away. There's a term that I heard not that long ago, and it seems to be like a trend because everything's a trend today, of adult children cutting off their parents. Because the parents, what does anybody know the term they use? Their toxic relationship. My parents are too toxic, so they cut them off. Now listen, parents can be toxic, but so can children. Especially when they want something, right? We can all have those things. Because this generation that we find ourselves in is no different than the time of Israel. We worship ourselves. We've made God in our image. There's churches all over meeting this morning. And unfortunately, while there are several and many that preach the true word of God, there's so many of them that preach self. They preach self-help. This is how you do it. 7 steps to having a happy marriage. 5 steps to increasing your income and to be great in this world. To live your best life now. And every one of those things are foolishness to God's word. Yet that's what's happening. And God's saying, my prophets and my priests are doing things their own way. They're not doing it the way I've told them to do it. So this takes us to our text this morning that we're going to look at in Jeremiah chapter 6. If I can turn the page. In Jeremiah chapter 6 says, thus says the Lord, stand in the ways or the crossroads and see, and ask for the old path where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. So God says, when you come to this crossroad, is Judah, where you are now. And for us today, when you come to the crossroads in life, here's how you should handle them. Here's what you should do. And God lays out some very simple steps to hear, but not that easy to do. The first thing he says is when you come to the crossroads, stop. Stand still and see. God tells us here that the word stand means to endure, to hold one's ground, right? Seeing here has the idea of pondering, of thinking. These are two things that are really not met well in our culture today. We don't think much anymore because every time we think, we swipe or we ask. Google is becoming passé. Nobody Googles anymore. We have chats. We chat with Claude. We chat with Gemini. Or we chat with chat. And we have everything at our fingertips, we think. And we get lazy. And we don't think. We don't ponder. We're not a people that pauses and thinks. And we're definitely not people who take time to meditate on God's word. See, God's called us to meditate upon his word. To meditate upon his word means to slow down, to read his word, to pray, and to spend time with him. God tells us that he doesn't typically for us speak in loud, audible voices. But he speaks to us through his word, through that still, small voice. And so many times, we're too busy swiping, we're too busy typing to ever take time to listen. See, so we should think. Jesus told us that you need to think. Matthew 13, he says this is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear and understand. In them is fulfilled what the prophet Isaiah said. You will be hearing, but never understanding. You will be seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Jesus says, I cloak the truths of God around stories. And the idea for us is we need to spend time in the Word. We need to spend time thinking and meditating and understanding the context of why God says what He says and when He says it. You can't read the Bible and understand the Bible by just flipping it open and reading a passage here or there. Because you can torture any text of Scripture to make it say whatever you want it to say. People do that all the time. But what God wants us to do is spend time with the Word, asking Him, asking the Holy Spirit, when you read the Word of God, this is your Word. You wrote this. Teach me. Speak to me. I want to understand you. Faith comes by hearing God's Word. Jesus tells us to think, to slow down, to think. We live again in a society that moves so quickly, so fast. If you ever been driving, this used to happen more so than today because of GPS. But if you ever been driving and you know you're getting that driving daze, right? You're just cruising. Things are great, and your mind's off, and you're just having a nice time, and you realize you missed your exit. Now, if you miss your exit and you say, oh man, I missed my exit. Well, the only thing I could think of doing at this point, because there doesn't seem any other choice, let me hit the gas pedal and go faster. Does that help? See, that's our society today. Moving quickly equates progress. And that's not what God's Word says. Don't keep hitting the gas going in the wrong direction. Get off the exit. Slow down. Think. Let your GPS tell you what's correct. Or, God forbid, take out a map. Or, gentlemen, God forbid, ask for directions. Right? This is the idea. When the children of Israel come to the Red Sea, do you remember what they said? The people started saying to Moses, oh, thank you so much, Moses, for leading us out here. It's so good to be trapped in between the water and the Egyptian army. We have great faith in God. Thank you. Is that what they said? They said, dude, what are you doing? You led us out here. Wouldn't it be better if we were back in Egypt? And you remember what God's response is to Moses? Lift up your hands. And remember the words He says? Stand and see My glory. Stand and see. Stop. Slow down. Think. Allow God's Word to purify you. We get enough of this as we swipe, as we watch endless hours of YouTube and TikTok and shorts, and it just blah, 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 and our brains get fried more and more and more. And guess what it does? I know, again, not to you guys, because you're above all this stuff, but when you scroll for an hour and a half, it shapes the way you think. Because they have an algorithm, right? They're just feeding you what you want to see and what you want to hear. And it just reinforces how great you are and how right you are. And God says, stop. See. Take a moment. When you come to the crossroads in life, don't just speed up, but actually stop and think. The second thing that God says to His people, stand in the ways and see. And ask for the old paths where the good way is. First thing He says is when you get to the crossroads and you've slowed down enough, now you have to ask, what's the right way? Now, who should we ask? Because many of us typically or tend to go to people first before God. We'll throw up, oh God, I don't know what to do, and then we call 40 people. Blah, 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 what should I do? Blah, 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 what should I do? And then you sit down and they go, she told me this, he told me this, I should do this. And guess what happens? You get more confused. Because God says this, Proverbs, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. God says, it's me. Come to me. Seek me. Seek my wisdom. Look, the Bible tells us a group of counselors is good. Godly counsel is good. But ultimately, the true counsel is God and his word. Take time to ask. Jesus says this in Matthew, ask and it will be given, seek you will find, knock and it will be open. Is there a man among you, in verse 9, chapter 7, who if his son asks for bread will give him a rock? Or a fish and give him a snake? If you, being evil, know how to give good things to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to them who ask? But I ask God and he never answers me. No? Anybody? I ask him and he doesn't answer me. You know what my advice to that is? No, keep knocking, keep asking, keep seeking. It's a good thing. But we have a tendency in the midst of a crisis at a crossroad to stop doing the things that we should still be doing. So what I tell people is go back to what you know. The Bible tells us a lot about how we should live, how we should walk, how we should treat one another, how we should honor God, how we should seek after God. Make that the continual pattern of your life. Asking, stopping, looking, thinking, pondering. Because the more that pattern comes into your life, God has a way of speaking in that still small voice. Circumstances, God is great at using. He'll send people. How many times have you gone through a prolonged struggle and you said, God was not here. God doesn't care about me. And then you get to the other side of it, and your eyes seem to be open. You say, oh, I remember when Jack said this to me. I remember my wife told me that. I remember my son that the whole time, God's moving. Because he says, I love you. I died for you. I gave myself for you. Do you think I'm going to give you a rock, Charlie Brown? You know, you come asking for something to eat, and I'm going to say, no, give him the rock. No, that's not our God. So he says, come and ask me. Come to me. And then he says, ask for the ancient ways or the good ways. Now, some people read this, and when they think of the old paths or the ancient ways, we tend to think of the good old days. As you get older, you talk about the good old days. I hear all the time, when I was a kid in church, we did it this way. And it was better. Singing this way, doing this, doing that. That's not the ancient path. The ancient path isn't the way we do things. Well, what's the ancient path then? God's word. God has given us his word filled with people, filled with examples. Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith. God tells us of all the people and their faithfulness. Chapter 12 says, and being surrounded by such a great cloud of witness. He's shown us these things. He's given us these things. He's allowed us to have these things. But we tend not to use them. We tend not to ask him. We tend not to seek after him. Imagine a hiker in the woods. They get lost. Get turned around, which is very easy. I have the worst sense of direction in the world. I thank God every day for GPS, because when I used to drive, if I ever came to a place I was going and it was left or right, 100%, if I turned left, it was supposed to be right. I was that good. I got to the point where my instinct said left, I just turned right. Right? Because I knew how bad I was. But imagine you get turned around in the woods, right? And you can't see your way back. And you come up to somebody and they look like they may have been down the road before. And you ask them, where should I go? What path should I follow? And they'll tell you, turn around and go down that path. And when you take a look at it, look, it's worn well. See, the ancient path that God's telling us is a path that's worn well. It's already been hewn down. It's already been cut through. It's the path of God's truth. It's the path of His Word. He says, follow that path. You don't need to make the newness. Not everything has to be the new, better, newer is greater. He's saying, no, follow the worn path. Read His Word. Read about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, about Moses, about Paul. Read as they've walked after the Lord. And as Paul says, follow me as I follow him. That's what we need to do, and that's the ancient path we need to go down. See, sometimes we have to understand the old path is not the most fun path. The old path may not be the most exciting path, but the old path, in God's eyes, is the true path. It's the right path. And we're to walk after that, choosing to obey God's word, to repent, to trust after Him, to walk in obedience after Him. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is. And then He says, take a step of faith. Walk in it. Walk in the path. Step of faith is the biblical idiom for obedience. Take a step of faith in my word. Follow what I tell you. Listen to me and obey me. God tells us that obedience is much better than sacrifice. Right? It's a heck of a lot harder to forgive someone who's betrayed you than it is to maybe throw $100 in the plate. Because that costs something in you to be obedient to God's word. We like to pick and choose the words that we like, stuff we're good at. I'm a nice person. I'm kind. I like to be kind to people. But if you ever cross me, you're dead to me. I never forget. I know some of you here, because I know you, are Italian. And our ancestors had a way of living that. I'll never forget what they did to me. You won't believe they are absolutely dead to me. If they were run over by a bus, bleeding out in the street, I would walk right over them. But God says, those people that hurt you are the same people that when they hung my son on the cross, He said, Father, forgive them. Who do you have a heart after? The ways of this world? Or the Lord? He says, walk in obedience. Walk in the good way. Walk in the faith that I've given before you. See, most of us would rather God do this. We're okay with maybe slowing down and seeing God and standing before God. We're okay even asking God. But before we walk in it, we want the answer. See, God's going to say, after you walk in this, then you'll find peace. We want ask, seek, do all those things. God, you answer my prayer, then I'll follow you. You spoiled brats. Listen, God tells us our faith is grown. There's a progression to our faith. I love the idea of a little toddler who's just beginning to walk. And when you're a dad and you see your toddler walking, what do dads and moms do? They set the kid up over there, and then they back up. And they go, come on, baby. Come see daddy. And the toddler gets up. He's all wobbly. And the toddler falls down. and mom and dad walk up to that kid and they pick him up and they start swinging him around and drop kick him. How dare you fall? Is that what you do to your kid? What do you say? It's okay, Buzz. It's okay. Come on. Get back up. Daddy's right here. Come to me. That's what the Lord's calling us today. He's saying, I'm a good father. Come to me. Always just make sure your walk is progressing towards me. When you fall, I'll be there. I still love you. I'll be waiting. But if you don't, and the toddler gets up, turns his back on his dad, and starts running the other way, what would dad say? Hey, where are you going? You need to come to me, because you're too little to run that way yet. Come to me. Listen, I don't care how long you've been walking with the Lord, you're too little to run the other way. Because when you run the other way, there's danger, and you will fall. See, there's a progression in our faith. Our progression is it's going to be seen in Israel. God, in the Old Testament, parts water for them two times in a fairly close order. Mentioned the Red Sea. When they got to the Red Sea, remember what God said? He parted the water, and remember what he said about the basin? The bottom of the sea? Was it wet and mucky and miry? It's dry. All they had to do was watch God do something and then just walk. No problem. A little while later, Joshua brings the children of Israel to the Jordan River. And the Jordan River is raging. And God says, you need to cross it. And he said, okay. And God says, this is what I want you to do, Joshua. Tell the priests to take the Ark of the Covenant and to go before the all of Israel. And as they're walking, tell them to step in the water. The water that's raging. The water that's coming down. The water that if you slip and fall, you could get hurt. God says, the next time, I'm not just drying it. You should have faith to understand that I can do whatever I tell, whatever I say. And if I tell you something, it will come to pass. But the trial is, take a step in the water. We don't like those things. We want the dry ground. We want the easy way to go. We want no obstacles. How many of you, after you got saved, you were kind of like, listen, Lord, I love you. I thank you for saving me. Now, really, until you take me home, I just want to be able to read my Bible, sing some songs, go to church, have a family, and go home. Sounds good, right? You sign up for that. Problem is, Jesus says, in this world, you're going to be the best version of you you can be. And you'll be wealthy and strong forever if you just follow me. He says, if you're in this world, you'll have... You got problems. Stuff's going to happen. But be of good cheer, because why? I've overcome the world. That means there's nothing that is in front of you that God hasn't said, I got it. But we have to take that step. We have to walk in obedience. We have to walk into the river sometimes, and it's scary. And we have to actually obey God's word. You know, going back to that hiker idea, imagine you're in the woods, and again, you're lost. And you see a park ranger. And you go, hey, how do I get back? Where do I go? And the park ranger pulls out his map and he shows you and he says, walk down here 50 feet and look, you'll see a well-worn path and it'll be marked with this yellow stuff. All you have to do is stay on that path. It'll take you right out and you'll be safe. And you say, thank you very much. And he says, which way? Go that way. You say, thank you very much. And you turn around, you walk this way and you fall off a cliff. We laugh because we do that. I've done it. I don't know about you. I've done it. God's laid the path before me. He's told me what to choose, the way that is right. And I've said, I hear you. I got it here. I intellectually understand it. But you walk the other way. See, because sometimes there's tough choices to make. See, sometimes honesty is hard to do when a lie could save you money. It's really hard to forgive, again, as I said, someone who's hurt you, even though the Lord says, if you can't forgive others, I won't forgive you. And what's our answer to that? God knows. We say things so stupidly at times. Listen, God knows. He can forgive because he's God, but he knows how weak I am. He doesn't give you the caveat to do that. He says, forgive. That's a command to do. Now, can you do it apart from him? No. We love ourselves way too much to allow that to happen. But he says, forgive. And our response needs to be, Lord, I don't want to. It hurts. I'm hurt. I don't know what to do. But Lord, give me the strength. Ask him. And he will. He will do that because he loves you so much. So he says, stand in the ways and seas, ask for the old paths where the way is good and walk in it, and then you'll find rest for your souls. Now I just want to see, this word to Judah was written 600 or so BC, 600 years before Christ. What we need to do today as believers is set your eyes on Jesus. Because here when it says, and I will give you rest, Jesus says this, as he uses this from Jeremiah. Come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, we as his children who know, who have been bought and purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ, who the Lord has forgiven us of our sins. He says to us, come to me. It's not an ancient path. We're called to seek after a person. And he says, come to me. He says, take my yoke. You know, the idea of the yoke was when they put two oxen together to plow, right? And they would always put a more experienced ox with a less experienced ox. And the more experienced ox, when he would do there, he would know the route, know the way to go. He would train the newer ox. He would pull more of the burden because he knows the way. And Jesus is saying to us today, you don't have to do these things alone. Take my yoke upon you. Let me stand right next to you. All I'm asking you to do in order to find rest is stop. See. Take the simple path. Set your eyes upon me. Do you complicate that? See, God made it really simple, this. I love this fact. He says things like, stand, see, ask, walk. I know two-syllable words may be hard for you, so I'll make it easy. And yet, how many times do we not do this? How many times when we're going through something, we don't say, Lord, come with me. Lord, I need you. Lord, please. He's saying, cry out to me. Come to me. I will give you rest. And he says, and if you walk in it, if you obey, if you set your eyes upon me, you will find rest for your souls. He says, I have an answer to what you're going through. And here's what I'm going to give you. If you stand, if you ask, if you seek me, if you come to me, if you do all those things, he said, then you'll find rest for your soul. How many of us want rest? Now, all of you that raised, not all of you, some of you that raised your hand had a bad night of sleep. And you go, I need more rest. I had one of those nights last night. My stomach was killing me. I didn't sleep well. When the alarm went off this morning, I wanted to say, not happening. But the rest God's talking about is so much better than just a nap. The rest he's talking about is for your soul. It's the rest that allows you to be like the Lord, and when the storm's raging, to fall asleep. See, when you get to the point where you trust the Lord and stuff's raging, you cry out to him, and if you leave it with him, he gives you the ability to have rest and peace. And this world is seeking for that. That's what people want. But yet, what we've done is we've run so fast, we've made our lives so convenient, we made our lives so easy, that we just push through all that stuff. And we forget to take time to slow down. And he says, I want to give you rest for your soul. And I love that. Philippians 4 says this, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind through Jesus Christ. John 16, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. The angels, as they announced the birth of Christ, say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, Charlie Brown people, peace, goodwill towards men. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. God's theme is, when you do it my way and you come to me, you're going to have peace. Doesn't mean everything's going to be smooth. Doesn't mean you're not going to have stuff that comes in and makes you anxious and gets you afraid at times. But he's saying, if you do these things, if you seek after me, if you come to me, if you call out to me, then I will give you a rest in your soul that nothing on this earth can give you, that only can come from me. Stand and see. Follow the simple path. Take that step of faith. Set your eyes on Jesus. Walk in obedience. And God's promise is you'll find rest. Do we like that? Do we want to try to do that? Look what Israel's response is. You'll find rest for your souls, but they said, we will not walk in it. They said, no, thank you. God says in verse 17, I set watchmen over you saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. They say to God, no. Thank you, but no thanks. And God doesn't stop there. He says, I send watchmen. They're blowing the trumpets. You're falling off the edge of a cliff. Don't take another step or you're going down. And they say, no. We want to do it ourselves. It's unbelievable to me that you could say that. It's unbelievable that the same God who delivered them and parted the Red Seas for them and parted the Jordan River and saved them battle after battle after battle, that they would say when God says, the Babylonians are coming and they're going to rip you apart, and they say, we got it. We got it. See, all of us are coming to a crossroad. And I think that crossroad's really important for us to remember. It's a crossroad. See, the whole world is going and coming to the point of the cross. See, the most important thing and decision we can make in life is to answer the question, who is Jesus? Is he who he says he is? Is he the Son of God, who takes away the sins of the world, the Lamb of God who died for my sins? See, all of us have to come to that crossroad. And Jesus, when we get there, if we get to the point where we say, I am a sinner, I'm messed up and there's no hope for me, he says, I got you. Because that cross is the bridge we need to get from no hope with God to a relationship with God, the Father, through Jesus Christ. See, when you come to the crossroads, the first thing we always have to do is look back to what Jesus has done for us. Don't lose sight of that. Don't let the problems of this world move your focus on the fact that you are going to heaven. That Jesus Christ has forgiven you of your sins and that he has eternity planned for you with him. That gets you through a lot of junk. As the stuff swirling around you, as you're wondering what the doctor's going to say, as you're wondering what's going to happen with my job, as you're wondering what's going to happen in life, what's the next step, what's going to happen in this world, what war is next, what evil's next, how much higher our gas price is going to go, when we have all these things swirling in our head, we as his children need to take a step back, look at the cross, and bow down before it. Leave it all before him. Set it before him. Because when we make that choice, his promise is you will find rest. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of things that make me not want to sleep well at night. But I know for me, every day, every night, and now it's seemingly multiple times a day, the older I get, I look back and I say, Lord Jesus, you know. I don't know nothing. But you know. And I'll tell you what, when you trust in him and you obey his word and you walk after him in obedience, I guarantee you, because he says it, that you'll find rest for your souls.